You are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down seeking to get ejected for targeting. As we stiff arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans, I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham, John Spears, and Luke Kreger. In this episode, Hank, Lord Vermont, and Andy from Shively all call into the show to provide some insight and ask the podcasters some interesting questions. We dive deep into the various playoff scenarios to give some managers an idea of what they need to do to sneak in. And the power rankings get shaken up this week, even though Rob stays at the Grand Trophy Tops, if only for one more week. Let's get into it. All right, fantasy footballers, it is getting real as we come down to the last 2 weeks of the season, and we will have lots to discuss later on as we dive into the scenarios and who's going to be in, who's going to be out. For now, we're going to jump back into last week and take a look at the game of the week, which featured Victoria's Secret took on Farewell to Hope. And this was basically an elimination matchup and therefore the game of the week because of that. And quite simply for John, Jaden Daniels and Aaron Jones showed up. They laced up their cleats, were ready to take John to a victory, but the rest of John's team just simply laid down. On the other hand, Amanda's roster brought the heat and cruised to the win, 254 to 198, basically eliminating John from contention once again as she did in the playoffs last year. And I'm, for one, still in a little bit of disbelief that John's eliminated, as I thought he drafted a good team. I picked him to make the playoffs, but really injuries and bad luck didn't him in. Levi, are you surprised as I am with this result?
I don't want to be harsh, but no, this is kind of what this John's strategy here. He wanted to be first.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when you go for that first, there's a disappointment. Sometimes it doesn't work out and, like, things just compound on each other.
Yeah.
So, like, it's easier to try to go first and get last. Like, John could have definitely gone safer in the draft and maybe would have gotten in the playoffs, but I think this is a good strategy to get first, but it's also a good strategy to get the toilet seat.
Yeah.
I mean, there ain't much really to say. It's just a bad year, pretty much what it is. I think Jaden Daniels panned out. A-Chan panned out.
I think you got some new man crushes this year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Neighbors, for sure. Yeah, I like him. Like, yeah, it is what it is, you know. Good game, Amanda. This was about what my team's capable of, 198 points. That's it. That's pretty, or maybe 212 or something like that. Like, it lost its explosiveness or rarely even had it. Didn't get any good pickups. Didn't make very good decisions. Of course, I felt like pickups were kind of weak this year. Wasn't, like, overwhelmed by it. But yeah, this is this right here, this score, 198, that's my team, that's my score, and that's why I'm 4-8.
Yeah, I feel like if I had to point at one player that crushed you, it was probably Tariq Hill. I mean, you drafted him to be a top five receiver, and what's he, 20-something?
14.
He's 14? I'm surprised
he played last night. But
yeah, so he's not 14.
Probably close to 20.
Yeah, I think at one point, at least a couple weeks ago, I think he was in the 20s. So that, you know.
I'll tell you, that's really cool. When Rashee Rice went down.
That too,
yeah. My team. That whole scenario, that whole week of all them players, and I was done. I didn't believe it, but I was done. He was like the number one receiver when he went out.
I keep forgetting about Rashee Rice. Yeah.
So long ago.
I mean, and he was probably going to be a top 10 wide receiver if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah, he was awesome.
You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's the game we play, and sometimes it goes your way, and sometimes it doesn't.
Good win, Amanda. She's poised to potentially get back in the playoffs after this win.
Yeah, and there's going to be some interesting scenarios from the bottom of the league as we'll look into later. But for now, we're going to jump back into the matchups. We got the Houdinis who took on It's What Plants Crave. And the Brother Bowl Part 2 here came down to Monday night as Derek had Lamar Jackson going and Bateman versus the mighty Will Disley. And shockingly, Lamar got the best of that showdown, leading Derek to a close victory, though, 228 to 209. But once again, Justin Jefferson fails to deliver here. Levi, how are you feeling about that?
That's for my season. My season lives and dies with him, basically. Yeah, he hasn't done anything in like a month.
No.
And I keep... it's been a lot of heartbreak. We talked about this off air. I kind of wish I was in John's situation where like I just get blown out. Like I keep going into Monday with like some hope.
A chance.
Yeah. And it gets taken away from me. It's not good for the heart. I'll just say that. it makes fantasy football not as fun. I good win for Derek. Like Lamar, like I knew Lamar was gonna, you know, like I was pleading with Lamar. Like I'm a bigger fan than Derek. Like he thinks he's a running back, you know. And you know, please just, you know, take the night off. Didn't work. But yeah, like I need Justin Jefferson to do something, or my season's done. And my season might be over after this week when I'm playing Amanda, who hasn't only had like one loss in 2 months.
I mean, he had, God, how many people on a bye and out? It's kind of weak. You hope you just skate by, and that's exactly what he did.
I mean, like, none of the people on bye I was super afraid of. Like, he still had, like, wasn't like full power, but like, it wasn't like, oh, thank God. Josh Jacobs has never put under 40 against me, ever, when Derek has had. Like, there was one time he put up 80 against me. Like, he will always do 3 touchdowns. It's a guarantee.
I'll tell you what, though. Derek's, like, made good calls and pickups and playing players. And then, you know, Rashad Bateman got 18. You know, he didn't blow you out of the water, but he was not a dud. So, and I think when he played me, he played... What do you have? Somebody have like a 70-yard touchdown? Who was that for New Orleans?
Oh, MVS.
MVS.
Yeah, he picked up, played him, and
he did.
Eric's made some big time move, big time plays, and they panned out. So that was a good win for Derek. You know.
Yeah, he's basically. I mean, now he's challenging for first at this point. He like if he lost this game, he'd be where I am. You know, and. Another loss, he'd be out. But now with the win, he could have a bye.
Yeah. But it's starting to seem like that the records are starting to reflect what these teams are. Like, Derek's team's been good all season, but he's kind of always been in the middle. And you're seeing his push to the top. It's probably where he should be, you know, considering how many points he scores.
Here's the thing with Derek's team. Like, Derek didn't take any risks with his draft or anything. You know, and that should get you in the playoffs. But it will get him the win, is the thing.
Yeah, really the only risk I would say that he kind of has is Josh Jacobs, like, going to a new team. Like, is he going to be, you know, like, he's been a number one running back in the season before.
Luke and I were watching the Packers game yesterday, and they showed a graphic on the screen about Josh Jacobs, and they showed that he's 26 years old, and Luke had made the, man, he's only 26, and... It's like, yeah, I mean, and, you know, he's been, in fact, he's been on two of the previous title winners teams, Josh Jacobs. Lance had him 1 year, but he won it. Somebody else did, too. He's a league winner. He is consistent. He's consistently puts up 30.
Yeah.
He doesn't get injured very often.
He does have some dud years. You know, like last year he had a dud year.
Yeah, the Raiders overall. Had it done.
Yeah. So, like, but yeah, I mean, he's probably been on more winning teams than not.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the exception. He's got to pick the right year for him. Yeah.
Well, last year was the exception if you looked at his career. But anyway, both you guys are still in it, and that's the main thing here. Yeah. But good matchup. We'll move on. We've got the Purple Bleeders took on the Cleveland Steamers. And this was another close one. As Rob puts his first place record on the line versus Lance. And Rob put up a fight with Derrick Henry, Nico Collins, and Jonnu Smith, who, by the way, is starting to look maybe possibly one of the better tight ends in the league. But Lance gets lucky with a big-time TJ Hawkinson performance. And Jacoby Myers played way over his head and gets the victory here, 239-219. Levi, the standings are all bunched up now, and there's no clear alpha team this year. Should that be an encouraging sign?
encouraging sign
for teams to get into the playoffs. Maybe if you're down towards the bottom, there's really.
I mean, like it kind of like anybody. It's anybody's game right now. Yeah. Like you just need to get hot for 3 weeks. You got to get in the playoffs, and then you got to win three in a row. And I don't think there's a team that that's still in contention that can't do that. It's a little concerning that the Steamers haven't won in almost, 2 months? So, I think the teams that are in the playoffs want Rob to be there. Like, it seems like a team you can get past at this point. He's got Jonnu Smith now. He had Brock Bowers at the beginning. Like, Rob's been going through all kinds of tight ends this year, and he's had
Kraft success. Was good too.
Yeah, he still has Kraft.
Yeah.
I think Rob is trying to piece things together and hope that things happen for a week. But like, he's looking elsewhere and plugging in other players that are doing good the week before. But he's got Josh Allen back next week.
Scare me none.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, like, they're playing San Francisco. San Francisco's season might be done.
Very much so.
So, it's a little concerning with Rob. I will talk about this later on with the playoff scenarios, but like, there's a small chance that Rob's out, like, if things go against him. And we thought he was in after that when he was 7-1.
Oh, man.
That was 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a big win for the old Union Brothers. I think Jeff, he got a win as well against the whoever you all are, the Hacksaw Alliance. So I think that probably meant more. You know, to shut down. Yeah, they played the Hacksaw Alliance. The Union Brothers did.
Oh, no, but you said whoever we are. Everybody knows.
So what are your thoughts on it? Better question. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are Rob needs one more win. Just like.
No. Your Alliance losing to the Union Brothers. Anything to say? Anything to add to that?
You know what? It's funny because I was actually looking at that. The Alliance head to head, and we are you asked me, and so I'm
asking about this one.
What's the head to head against?
We're 17-22 versus the Union Brothers. We were 17-20, but we lost both so this week. So, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. I mean, I don't care. I don't care about the playoffs.
What's your record versus the other
ones? I don't want to get into that right now.
It's bad.
What was that over under again? We need to get checking on that.
It was 17.5
again.
That's so what I said. You said 12.5.
Yeah, it was pretty. You got the 12.5 because you had 13. Oh, yeah. So good on that. Oh, yeah. But are you gonna get the 17?
No, that's not gonna happen. I don't think it's even possible now.
No.
It's all right.
A little short.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we set a high bar, you know. So. We're going to get close, I think.
Big dumbo.
All right, anything else on that one?
You lost and Rob lost.
And yep.
Well, we didn't talk about
I lost.
Me.
We're good.
All right.
Talk about those two.
Speaking of those Union and Hacksaw, it's Slop Nasty took me on. And the Slops get the series sweep over me with a 200-178 win. And this one just wasn't pretty at all, but I'm sure Jeff will take it here. My team just simply didn't show up, with the exception of Waddle, who dropped 45. But other than that, one of my worst games of the year. And Jeff was get this, guys. He was actually led by Cooper Rush. He led his team in scoring with 25 points. And I think somebody said it'd be better to play nobody than play Cooper. I think Levi said that last week.
I might have said that.
And he actually ended up leading the team in scoring. So once again, Jeff, as you said, we know not what we speak oftentimes.
Kudos to me for motivating Cooper.
But, you know, if you'd have told me before the week started that Cooper Rush was going to lead Jeff's team in scoring, I would have been thinking whooping of the week. And but I take the L. But I'm still fighting for a playoff spot, even though I'm leading the league in points. So, Levi, can you make any sense of this?
I'll say that, give give Jeff what he, you know, the kudos, I guess. But, like, he only scored 200, like, barely. Like, this is more like your team didn't perform than Jeff got there. Like, I think your team cooled off quite a bit. I think the main player to look at, Joe Mixon, like, that's the first, like, game that he played the whole game and didn't do much at all.
No, he didn't.
So I hope, you know, you're hoping that's probably like an outlier there.
Yeah.
But he does have a bye next week, 14.
Yeah, great.
There's like week 14 byes are great. You lose J.K. Dobbins. I think that's pretty important too.
Yep.
I don't know. How long is he out?
It's unsure at this point. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be long term. But... yeah, I don't know for sure. I haven't seen the latest update.
Mm. So, yeah, a little concerning. You hoping you're not regressing back to the mean here, because you've been pretty good last month or four or five games. Under 200 for you has been rare.
Yep.
So hopefully it's just an outlier, but yeah, good on Jeff.
Yeah, this score is just indicative of all the bye weeks. What is there, 9 byes between the two of you? Yeah, so 9 byes. Jeff just got the better end of it.
Good point. Jeff got the win with Burrow and Rob Bijan on the
right
bench.
Brad had Chase and Cook and Pitts on a bye, so
yeah,
that's just who was going to get luckier. You know, if Cooper Rush comes out with 25, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when your team on the other side doesn't do anything... Yeah, it was just a good win for Jeff just to get by it. No pun intended. So, good win for the slops.
Yeah, and Dobbins has an MCL sprain. He's doubtful for this week. Coach says that he will miss some time, so whatever that means. I may get him back for a playoff push.
Yeah, I would say at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not expecting him back next week, which sucks because I'm going to have Mixon out, so it's going to hurt my depth. And then Eckler's also questionable for this week. Actually, I think he's going to be out.
Bad timing on an injury.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to have to plug in. I don't know who I'm going to plug in my running back spot. I'll have to worry about that next week. But, yeah. So
great, dude.
Here we go. All right. Last matchup. We're going to look at Scoop's Troop.
Hold on here. That's supposed to be the whooping, right?
Yeah, that's right. Never mind. I got ahead of myself. And anything else to say about my matchup? Nope.
No.
All right. No. Well, let's move on to the whooping of the week.
Ladies and gents, the time you've all been waiting for with our final matchup between Jason Stuffing Joe's Giblets. Sorry, Joe, but you got whooped.
Nice. Yeah, Joe. This was bad. I mean, basically, Saquon Barkley puts Jason's team on his back with the third highest individual fantasy performance in CFL history as he explodes for 89 points. You know, and that was pretty much it. And Cortland Sutton and Caleb Williams chip in with 39 apiece as well, and that was a wrap. You know, Joe was led by DJ Moore, who got 40, but the rest of his team kind of took the day off, leading to the whooping, which is Jason's third, tying him with John. And Joe's seventh time being whooped, tying him with John and Levi for third most. So, Levi, Jason's team is starting to finally put it together here. Can you see an unlikely playoff run here for Jason?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think he's got the inside track to make a push.
Yeah.
He's got his matchups. I just want to say how bad we are at picking teams. Like, we were just like, oh, this is like, I was like, how do you pick Jason? He's got Breece Hall on by, Brock Purdy isn't playing. I mean, I almost picked him, but like, and then after hearing Brock Purdy, and also like, they got the 49ers got blown out.
Yep.
So like, Debo only got 10. Like, if you told me that Brock Purdy wasn't going to play, Debo gets 10. Like, how does he beat Joey? But he does it by the most amount.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, he got 90 out of Barkley.
You weren't
way off on the pick. That's an abnormal, you know, that's an abnormality. I mean, he got -6 from his defense, and he got 3 from Javonta Williams, you know, and 10 from Debo, and he got the whooping. He scored 256
points.
Yeah. So that's what that 89. I mean, Jason's team's looking good.
He had, I mean, besides Saquon, he had three other players over 30, too.
Right, but give Saquon his average, he's closer to 220, 210, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's how easily, that's what big weeks do.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely kudos to Jason. I mean, Saquon's been awesome all year. He's kind of been covering up some of his weaknesses. It's kind of what you want. I think he took him, like, second round, maybe, when Saquon went.
Yeah, I mean, it was the early second. I think he got the, he was on the
23rd like overall, so whatever that is, round 2.3.
Oh, he's 23rd.
So,
no, that's
third round.
That's third round.
Dang. Dang.
That, third yeah, round that's
probably going to be the MVP.
Yeah.
Ammar Chase right now.
Whew.
Yeah.
So, going back to Levi's point about us making terrible picks, last week I was 0-5 in my picks. Levi and John and Luke were 1-4. John was out. He didn't have a picks, but so we were one.
Go back and
we were 1-13 in our picks last week.
Yeah,
I don't remember what I did. So I should have just texted him the next morning. So, I feel like I picked Jason. It's positive I did.
Even with Purdy out,
my pick would have came in before that. When did was Purdy ruled out?
Right for the I found out when we were recording.
Yeah. I was asleep. So I didn't.
So you decided to pick them after we recorded?
When I woke up that morning, Brad had sent a text. Send me your picks, jerk.
We were recording when
but
we
sent that. I was asleep.
Too. Yeah.
So when I woke up, I just saw the text. And I was like, well, I'll look at the picks before I got out of bed. I think that's when I was like, well, I would take this person, this person. But I don't remember what I'd done.
Yeah.
But, okay. So, yeah. So that's last week's. We've got a lot of juicy matchups to review coming up in the next segment. We're gonna look at week 13, and we're gonna do that next. All right, nerds, it is time to project into week 13 as we're all sitting here nervously, anxiously awaiting these matchups, as they are pretty much all of them carry significant weight as in terms of getting into the playoffs. As you all know, we have 2 weeks remaining, and so it's just win, baby, right now. Just win, and a lot of teams are going to be in or half the league. And so we're going to jump into this. We're going to call the game of the week. It's going to feature the Houdinis, who are 7-5, taking on Slop Nasty, also 7-5. Both teams tied for first place. Derek is 7-3 all-time versus Jeff, and Derek did beat Jeff early in the season in week 4. But Derek starts this week with 33 points from Josh Jacobs on Thanksgiving, and then St. Brown gets 20. However, Mark Andrews, James Conner, and Lamar have tough matchups, and I'm throwing in Mark Andrews because right now he's got Kincaid in his lineup who's going to be out, looks like, so I think he's going to throw in Andrews there. But those three players have some tough matchups, but Derek should get big production from Houston players as they face Jacksonville this week, which means Stroud, Tank Dell, and Houston's defense should be strong plays. But not to be outdone, Jeff gets 35 from Rico Dowdle last night. He's got to be happy with that. And then Baker, Kyron Williams, and McConkey and Marvin Harrison all have plus matchups. So I'm taking Jeff here, but I think this is going to be a tight one all the way through.
Yeah, I got to go against you this time. I'm going to take Derek. I think he's back to full strength with Chase Brown and having Brian Thomas Jr. in. I think CJ Stroud might have a good game because Jacksonville has been kind of bad defensively. He had a good Thursday. I think Derek should be able to pull it out.
Yeah, I'm going with Slops here. He's getting Burrow back, and he's been probably quarterback one the past 4 weeks maybe. He had to go back and look. He's averaging probably like 40-something points. And he got 35 out of Rico Dowdle. Those are bonus points for Jeff.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
It's a division game, though.
What's that?
Pittsburgh.
I don't care. I think Burrow is just, he's that guy, and that's what he is right now. But a fun fact, I was watching Dallas, I don't know if y'all caught this. This was the first Dallas running back to have over 100 yards in 26 games.
Wow.
26 games.
Wow. That is interesting.
That's crazy. Man. Longest streak in franchise history.
Yikes.
So, and Jeff was the benefit of that. This might be probably the game of the week here between Jeff and Derek. Both their teams are really good. Both of them are capable of putting up a bunch of points. But I'll go with the old Slops in a pretty even matchup.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say the Slops here. I think Bakebo and McConkey are they're going to have some really good games. And Mr. Doddle didn't dawdle this time. So give me Jeff.
He did not dawdle this time. That is for sure. And so all the picks are in. Levi takes Derek, and then the rest of the picks go to Jeff for that one. All right, next matchup, the Intoxicated All-Stars are 6-6, and they're taking on Black Sunday. I am 8-2 all-time versus Joe, and I took him down in week four earlier this season as well. However, Joe busts out of the gate on Thanksgiving with 33 points from DJ Moore. And if I can speak to that for a second, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm watching the game, I'm following on my phone. I mean, DJ Moore, of course, we all know the Bears had one first down in the first half. They did nothing. I think they had 32 total yards in the first half. So I'm sitting there like licking my chops going, man, DJ Moore's going to get a dud. And he explodes in the second half. I think he had two touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway... So DJ Moore and the Lions, they get their production there, and then the Lions get 14. And so with the exception of Geno Smith, though, and Terry McLaurin, Joe has great matchups. I'm particularly worried about CMC, Bowers, and Bucky Irving with their juicy matchups. But for me, I get just 47 points combined from the bottom of my lineup last night. But the rest of my team does have some good matchups as well, so I'm not throwing in the towel just yet, but I'll need some bangers from the top of my lineup and really kind of hope Joe has some duds. I'm going to play a little bit of reverse psychology here and pick against myself in hopes of jinxing Joey, so I'm taking Joe.
That has worked before against Joey, yeah. The reverse jinx, so that's a good strategy.
It's a desperate play.
I think you got a good chance, Brett. I'm going to take you. Didn't do much yesterday, but like
no duds though.
Yeah, they got above 10, and they're not like your central players,
right?
So like, I think if you have a big performance, I think Joe Mixon's gonna bounce back.
He's got a good matchup.
Good matchup against Jacksonville. I think Jalen Hurts could have a good day. I think you can definitely win, and I want to see more out of Christian McCaffrey since he's come back from an injury. He hasn't been himself at all. So, and then Jonathan Taylor hasn't done much since Richardson started for the Colts.
That's a good point.
So I don't think it's over. I'm going to take you. I'm going to take Brad.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm taking Joe here. Those guys weren't his elite players, but they were pretty pedestrian, getting 14, 16, 16. It ain't like they hurt him, but that's three less opportunities he has for an explosion. And I feel like in this league, you need all your opportunities for explosions because when they happen to you, it's so hard to make up. Like, DJ Moore, 33, that just ate away two of your players. Like, that's how important these explosions can be, especially when you get into point two. So I think Joey, could Brad win? Absolutely. Chase, as long as Chase is in the lineup, Brad can beat anybody. He's capable of putting up 80 points. But I'll take Joe here. And putting Montgomery on the bench, the ninth overall running back, that was a risky move.
He was questionable going into the week.
I wasn't sure. I was like, man, he had Jordan Love on the bench. I was like,
I think he also liked the Bucky Irving matchup against Carolina.
Yeah, Bucky's been good.
100%, chasing points.
100% sure he did. That was just an interesting. I didn't know he's questionable, but man, but if he pulls out the win, then
he'll look like a genius.
I'm gonna take Black Sunday here. I think your running backs will outperform his, and I think your wide receivers, though he had DJ Moore, I think your top two will outperform his top two.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And I think it's gonna be a good one. And we'll see kinda the result here as we move into week 13. All right. Got another matchup to look at. That's gonna be the Purple Bleeders, who are 7-5. They're going to take on Scoop's Troop, the upstart, 5-7. And Lance, though, is 8-2 all-time versus Jason, including a whooping early in the season in week four. But much like Joe versus me, Jason needs to save some face against Lance here. And more importantly, he needs to win to stay in the race in the playoffs. And Jason wasn't feeling too good yesterday at halftime, as we mentioned in the Lions game, but Kalen Williams salvaged a week by putting up 37 points in the second half, basically. But much of the rest of his lineup is littered with plus matchups as well. But Lance had two players going yesterday and gets a dud from CeeDee Lamb. But Jaden Reed does get two touchdowns, puts up 24 points. However, Lance really doesn't have any plus matchups with the rest of his roster, so I'm taking Jason here to get revenge against Lance and to keep making a push for the playoffs.
Yeah, I got to go with you. Jason seems very dangerous right now. He's got plus matchups. He got the performance from Caleb. Like, he looked amazing last night, or yesterday. Just kind of the reason why they were in that game to begin with. So, and then CeeDee Lamb got, I don't know if you were watching, like, he got hurt or something like that, but they never, like, said anything about it. Like, it's a little concerning for future weeks as well, if he's going to be playing or not. Like, I bet you Lance is probably wishing that they didn't play him. Like, cause it seemed like he got in for a couple series and then they took him out and then never came back in. And he kept dropping the ball. I think that's probably due to injury as well. So that's something to look out for the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got to go with Jason. He's got Saquon, you know, against Baltimore. I think that's a pretty good matchup for running backs. And then Puka Nacua, Cortland Sutton has been putting on pretty good season actually too. I think, what is he? He's the number 11 wide receiver right now.
He didn't play for 7 weeks. Puka Nacua is number 11.
I'm sorry. Cortland Sutton.
Okay, I'm
so sorry. Puka Nacua is. Yes, right. Yeah, he's number 52.
Sutton's been good, man.
Yeah, Sutton's has been very good. I think he's like one of those like late round picks. I don't want to say late, but like mid round picks that have turned out to be really good.
Yeah, and we all kind of. I don't know what the word would be, but none of us were high on Denver. And, you know, Sean Payton has turned Bo Nix into a quarterback. You know, I mean, Cortland Sutton's had some good weeks. And then, by the way, just a quick update. Jerry Jones did say that today that Lamb should be ready for week 14. So there is that. But
yeah, they never, like, declared him out or anything. It's just concerning for me. Like, it seems like they're hiding some stuff.
They said he was, like, super banged up throughout the season.
Well, he had an AC joint injury in his shoulder. It's the same shoulder.
Yeah. He landed on it pretty tough, but it's weird that Dallas didn't indicate that he was injured.
They're being super weird.
Yeah.
Well, then also, sorry to kind of take over here, but Bo Nix was limited on Thursday, and really today's practice report is going to determine whether he could be out.
It's interesting. That could hurt Cortland Sutton as well. So maybe.
Yeah. Well, I see that they say Nix is probably going to play.
Yeah, it looks like
he is. Maintenance thing just to allow him to, as a rookie, to kind of rest up.
Yeah.
And he gets to play Monday. So looking at the matchup, though, there's nothing more that I hate is look at my roster and I have Taysom Hill in it. But what I hate even more is when my opponent has them in their roster, in their lineup, and I'm going against it. Because you're like, he shouldn't be there, but he's going to explode if he's playing me. That's what we all think.
What should give Lance a little bit of pause in this or a little bit of hope is that he got 71 his last week he played.
But if I'm Lance,
is he going to get another 71?
That's what I'm thinking if I'm Lance. You know he's going to get 71 again because he's playing. You know, like it becomes this psychic. This psychological warfare. I can't stand it.
I got a potential nickname for Taysom Hill. Follow this. Taysom, right? Tay sometimes Hill.
Huh? Maybe.
Well, there's something there.
Maybe something. Tay sometimes Hill. Yeah.
Sometimes. 100%. But I think he's had some pretty. No, he said, no, he sucks. He shouldn't be in a lineup.
Yeah. And, like,
you should lose, Jason, for doing that to Lance. This is the matchup. If I'm Lance, I'm mad the whole time because he had Caleb Williams do absolutely nothing in the second half. He played a whole game and a half.
Sure did.
Put up three touchdowns with 250 yards. And he's got Saquon Barkley who's going to explode on you, Lance. I'm letting you know this ahead of time. Taysom Hill's getting 50. And guess what? He's starting another tight end. Nobody does that. He's dropping 30. So Lance just buckle up.
Pack it in.
Pack it in. Better yet, pack it in.
Yeah, right. I like that.
Let's move on. But yeah, I'm taking six troops here.
All right.
Yeah, Jason.
This is a clean sweep, but I need to remind everyone that the last week, by the way, last week our picks were 1-13. I don't know if I mentioned that before. And there was a couple that we had clean sweeps on and all those lost. So we keep saying that, but it keeps happening. So
yeah, we can't worth repeating. We keep thinking we can't possibly be worse. But then we get over that bar or yeah. Under that bar. I'm not sure what the term is.
Well, Jeff has continues to be right about us on our picks, so there's that. All right, next matchup: Victoria's Secret, who's 5-7, taking on It's What Plants Crave, who is 6-6. Levi is 7-4 versus Amanda all time, and Levi did squeak past Amanda in week 4 early in the season. So Levi gets a good but not great start on Thanksgiving as three players combined for 64 points. You know, and I really think that, though, the key to the Plants victory is a breakout game from Justin Jefferson. I feel like I've been saying this every week for, like, the last 3 or 4 weeks. But I think this time it's for real. I mean, if he doesn't get something from JJ, I think he's done here. Amanda also didn't have anybody going on Thanksgiving, but her matchups are very advantageous. So I'm taking Amanda here based on just that, as I see Kamara, Kupp, Kelsey, and Pollard carrying her to a W.
Yeah, I certainly don't blame anyone for taking Amanda here. Like, I wanted a little more from Goff and Gibbs Thursday to help me get – and it felt good, like, the first half. Like, I think it's the third time we talked about this game. But, like, they were doing great first half, and then I don't know what happened with the Lions. They just, you know, decided to let the Bears get back in the game and not really play offense much.
I felt like they leaned too heavily on the running game, man. Like, it was like every time I looked, they were running Montgomery or Gibbs.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I wanted a little more. The players I have left, minus Chubb, could win me any one of them could go off and hopefully, you know, keep me there. But all of them could also get, you know, nothing. Like, I'm kind of like an all or nothing here. Justin Jefferson hasn't done anything in like a month. That's been the reason why I'm 6-6. The Justin Jefferson is not part of the Vikings offense, despite, you know, being paid so much money. And I don't know what that's about. So, yeah, I'm going to take myself, but I'm honestly not expecting to win here.
Yeah, I'm going with OBS here. It's kind of a weird dichotomy. Like, you got the young guns. She's got the old old veterans. You know, you got Gibbs, Tracy, Jefferson, Jackson, and Jigba, Pickens, McBride, Anthony Richardson. Like, all those guys are within 2, 3, 4 years, you know, in the league. Most of them within 1 or 2 years. You know, relying on a lot of these young receivers outside of Justin Jefferson, you know, that poses a problem with, you know, her getting back Brown and Kupp. You know, Higgins, god dang, man. Mm-hmm. Talking about, he burned me last year, put me out of the playoffs, so I never will like him. And he got like 48 points last week. So maybe that took a little bit out of the chamber.
I mean, they're playing Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's defense is good. Pickens has lit up Cincinnati. Like, this time last year, Pickens, like, destroyed Cincinnati. So, yeah. I just need like a blow up. Like, maybe 2 blow-up players and to help me get over.
Get a 50 bomb, 60 out of Jefferson, you're probably in good shape.
I can't expect her to have a dud week this week.
She has a really good matchup.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going with the Victoria's Secret. And it's November, by the way.
Yeah. See, yeah, that's their new moniker.
It's November. Like, she is lethal in the month of November.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Amanda, too, as well, for the same reason as they have stated previously.
All right. Well, there we go. So I think we have a call.
Yeah. Looks like we got Hank from Valley Station. Yeah, put him through.
Hey there, fellas. Yeah, I'll just call in and see if we can get that boy, John Michael, fired. I'm about tired of looking at him. That boy don't know nothing. Have you seen the way we've been playing the past 6-7 weeks? I mean, I'll tell you what. Boy... Hey, hang on a second. That daggone Harold's out there. Hey, Harold, don't you be putting that grass seed down in my yard. You got all them damn squirrels over there getting into my bird feeder. We are too. I'm looking right at you, boy. I tell you what. Hey. Hey. Go ahead and call him. Call him. I done told you. Go on now. Tell you what, I'm about to plant some old grass seed up in his ass. But hey, yeah, I just want to call and ask you a question. What do you think of all us getting that boy up there, up in north, and come on down, and that boy can coach. That that old Lance boy, what do you think of all us getting rid of old John Michael and getting that boy to come on down to win us some football games?
Well, Hank, we're going to have to address that later in the Q&A session, but thanks for the call in.
So was he asking to take you out as the Farewell to Hope manager?
He's bringing a Farewell to Hope, and he's ready to move on.
I think he's wanting Lance.
Trying to poach the leaders coach. And wow.
Woo! Man. Well, thanks for the call, Hank. That was very educational, informative, and ridiculous. But we got one more matchup to look at, and that is going to be the Farewell to Hope, 4-8, who's going to take on Cleveland Steamers, sitting at 7-5. And Rob is 5-4 all-time versus John, and Rob did beat John early in the season, week 4. But John had four players going yesterday, and really he got good performances from all of them, combining for 96 total points. I'm not in love, though, with the rest of John's lineup, which I think gives Rob a chance here. Another reason is that Rob gets 35 from Jonnu Smith, who's beginning to look like one of the best tight ends in the league in recent weeks. However, Rob will have to overcome some tough matchups from his two best players, as Josh Allen and Derrick Henry have some tough matchups there. The rest of his matchups are pretty good, though, so I'm going to take Rob here.
Yeah, I think John's gonna play spoiler here. I think he can pull it out, and I think that was just enough on Thursday to get him within striking distance. I don't fear any of Rob's players like too much. Like maybe Derrick Henry can put something together, but I think John can actually pull it out, and you know. Yeah, I know there's not too much there left, but like I think John did enough.
Cue the bagpipes. Amazing Grace. I know you don't believe a single word that you just said, Levi. This is more of a personal, you want whatever to happen, it's fine, I get it, I'm all for it. You know, you can have them. But my season is over.
Well, yeah.
My team wasn't good. It fell apart week 3. Rob, let Jack go, like I sent out the GIF. That is this matchup in a GIF. Rob just let me drown, and I'll move on, and I'll go to Joe's League where I'm up there in the upper echelons of the league, win that one, and better luck next year for Farewell to Hope.
Now, farewell to your hope of the playoffs, Rupert, in a barn burner.
You can still play spoiler, though.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, Levi.
That's not.
He doesn't want to stoop to that level.
Now, I'll take it. If I win this week, I would. Next week may be different. But
all right. I'm
ready to be done.
All right, so that is a wrap. We have the matchups all set. We've got 3 games in the books. We have another game coming on here just in a few minutes or hour or two or whenever it starts. So we got another game today. But yeah, we've got all that down, and so we're going to move into the next segment, which is going to feature some very interesting discussion around, you know, the playoff scenarios. We're going to look at the power rankings, and so I'm sure we'll get into some interesting discussion there. So we'll do that next.
All right, everybody, let's get into the power rankings and the index. So the power rankings, We'll start with 10. I'll just say we know who this is, and
why we start at 10?
I mean, there's some shakeup, like you know, with
it's fine
with the top. I didn't want to leave anything out yet, but
I was one.
You were one, yeah. But like, you're the one team that I think is like
done.
Can't. I don't think you can get in playoffs. despite some kind of like
me neither.
Multiple 300 bomb, maybe a 400 bomb could get you in.
That illustrious 1%.
But yeah, we got Farewell to Hope at 10, 48.8. It makes sense for the Power Rankings. Team that can't make it in the playoffs should be, you know, a lot of everyone else has a chance. So like, I don't. This is what it is. John put on a good season.
No, well, I didn't.
No, he didn't put on a good season. But you know, that's what you said. So we'll move on to number 9 team is Victoria's Secret at 54.7, which is 6 points above 10. And Amanda hasn't lost in a while, and still in the 9 area. And there's kind of a big gap. Oh, well, the next team is like 3 points away, and then after that, there's 5 points between that. So there's kind of a big gap between the bottom three and the rest of the league. But yeah, we get Victoria's Secret. I think the computer rankings are taking her a little light. I think after this, if she beats me this week, I think she jumps up quite a bit, maybe even to 7 or 6. But yeah, right now they have her 9 pretty decisively. I guess it's just like still rating her based on her losses early in the season, and not that her team is super healthy now, has good matchups, has been putting up good numbers.
Total body of work.
Yeah. Number 8 with 57.75, we got Team Scoops Group. It's another team where I think they're not, you know, weighing them as much as they should, but it's kind of a whole body of work here, as Brad said. They're at 57. The next team is at 62. So that's a full, almost 5 points ahead. And it's really just the record here. But I think Jason should be a little higher. But yeah. And both these teams, Victoria's Secret and Scoops Troops, are teams that people don't want to see in the playoffs. They would be happy that they're not there. Coming to number 7, 62.65, Intoxicated All-Stars, which they right now has that team, still team outside looking in, which, let's see. So, Intoxicated All-Stars were 4 last week and 7 before, so they've been flipping from 7 to 4 each week. Mm. Like, kind of makes sense. Everyone's been winning and then losing. Nobody's been able to put those wins together. I thought we were able to have some concisiveness, but everyone decided to lose when they've been winning.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, Joey's at number 7. Coming to number 6, Black Sunday, 63.75. Which you were
2, right?
2 last week.
Oh my gosh.
Dropping to 6.
Dang.
Yeah. That was a brutal loss. You only scored 177. I think that was the big hit. You didn't gain as many points as some of the other teams. And number 5, we're kind of in the same spot. Like, it's what plants crave. Only a tenth of a point ahead of you, 63.85. I haven't been able to put it together, but for some reason, the computer rankings have been putting me higher. Like, I was at 3 last week, and I expected to drop a little more. I think I would have expected to be at 6 or 7, and maybe you'd be at 5.
Yeah.
But that's what your rankings has a little bit more trust than I do, I think.
Yeah, a tenth of a point.
Yeah.
We're basically tied.
So, yeah. 5, 6, 7 is only a point differential, basically, between those three teams. And then at 4, it's 67.25. So that's 3.5 points-ish is Slop Nasty. Slop Nasty got the win last week over you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big win for them. Even though they didn't really score too many points, let's see, where was Jeff last week? Jeff was at 5 last week, so only jumped up one spot. They decided to move you down, me down, Joey down, so Jeff 1 naturally had to go up from there. At number 3, 67.75, Team Purple Bleeders, which they've jumped from 7 to 3. Looking at potentially maybe being first place if they get a win this week.
Overrated. Overrated.
And, you know, apparently, based on the calls, Lance has the pick of his any job he wants in the league.
My cold dead hands, Lance.
Maybe that guy, what was that guy's name? Hank?
Hank.
Hank, he was looking at the power rankings and noticing some things.
Follow you with the newsletter on email.
Yeah. Coming in at number two. Now, who do you think would be a number two here? We got two teams we haven't mentioned.
I'd say it's probably Rob.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two, 68.05, the Houdinis.
Oh, buddy.
Still up top.
Let's
go.
I had a conversation with the owner of the Houdinis yesterday, and he's like, "Where do you think they're gonna put me in the power rankings? Like, I should be much higher than before." And he was also laughing at seeing Rob, not in the number one spot at the standings, but power rankings still have Rob at one, and Houdinis has moved from 6 to 2.
You know what that reminds me of? It just hit me. I remember several derbies ago, I was at the actual derby, and I bet on a horse who was 50-1, and it was Mind That Bird. And this is what Derek reminds me of. Mind That Bird, if you watch the race, he comes down the back, so they make the final turn, and Mind That Bird's kind of in the middle of the pack, and then he just, like the little, and he was like the little engine that could. It was like a little donkey horse. He's a little bitty old thing. He comes shooting like out of a cannon down the backstretch. That's what Derek looks like right now, an old donkey that's winning.
They've won the Derby.
I'm not saying we're at the finish line yet, but he's coming down the stretch. He's taking the lead right now, or he's in second.
Oh,
yeah, oh. Yeah. And let's see if that old donkey can hold on. Anyway,
I think it was a little interesting that the computers still have Rob at one, which, like, that's been all a year, basically.
But for contrast, ESPN's power rankings had me at 10th on draft day. I'm at 10th. They had Rob at number one. They had Rob at 8. He's now 1. They had Derek at 9. He's now 2.
Dang.
Slop Nasty was 3. I think you have him at 4. Purple Bleeders is at 4, which you have him at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria's Secret is at 8, but they have him at 6. Where'd you have her? She came.
She's 9.
Draft day, she was at. So it's pretty accurate with the ESPN. It's pretty close.
It's getting close to it, yeah.
Hmm. Like,
there must be factoring the same metrics. But this has been. We've had power rankings this year, but like Rob has been number one for 7 weeks.
Wow.
Jeez.
So
and losing.
And losing.
His first 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks were just insane.
Yeah. Like he jumped up way ahead, and I think it was week 8 he peaked, and then has lost since and still kept it. So yeah. That'll do with the power rankings. We'll see how they are next week, especially if some of these top teams lose, and where the power rankings. We'll get the what the computers think their prediction for playoff will be. We'll go with that. Next, we'll get into the Basham Index from Derek. He wrote in again, just showing. How many wins people will have if they played everybody in that week. So the most you could have is 9. The least you could have is 0. Cause, like if you have the least amount of points. And this week, he did send in who got what or how many wins this week. This week, Scoops Troops would have got 9. Victoria's Secret would have got 8. Purple Bleeders would have got 7. Houdinis would have got 6. Steamers would have got 5. It's What Plants Crave would have got 4. Slop Nasty would have got 3. Farewell to Hope would have got 2. Toxicity All-Stars would have got 1.
You're weak!
And Black Sunday got the Goose Egg.
You're weaker!
Kind of. And that, you know what that means. If you're doing the math from home, the Houdinis have now pulled ahead Black Sunday with 71 total wins. Black Sunday is 64, and then Purple Leaders of 59, Scoops Troops 56, Steamers 54, Slop Nasty 53, Farewell to Hope 48, It's What Plants Crave 47, excuse me, Victoria's Secret 44, Intoxicated All Stars 43. So now, Derek, let's see, the Houdinis would have, let's see, what is it? 28 more wins than the Intoxicated All Stars.
Dang.
So that's the biggest divide there. And then let's look at the average points per game. Black Sunday is still number one at 231.52. But the Houdinis have kind of closed the gap with 227.51. And then Victorious, or no, Scoops Troop is now, or no, I'm reading this all wrong. Sorry. Purple Leaders have 217.8. Scoop Troops has 215. Victoria's Secret 212.9. Steamers 212.4. Slop Nasty 209. It's What Plant Crave 208. Toxicated All Stars 206. And Farewell to Hope 200. So, pretty good, big gaps there. Look like Derek's got, you know, he's been able to maintain his lead, and I guess he's trying to show us that his team is good for some reason.
That's why he's doing this.
Yeah. He's doing a lot of work here. I wish you all could see how much he's done. It's like 5 pages of stuff.
Gee, dear Lord.
So, yeah. But, yeah. That'll do for that. We got to catch Derek. He's doing all this work and showing how good his team. It's going to be a little disappointing for him if he doesn't, you know, get another trophy.
It won't be disappointing for us.
No, of course not.
No.
Right. No. He's going to be, yeah, we'll all be like, that was a good season he had. That's pretty good season he put together.
Way to go.
But yeah, good job there. Other than that, we have pickups, not too much. I think Fab is now worthless, like, at this point. Like, people were just throwing money out there just to, you know, just put your stake on something. But, like, Slop Nasty picked up Jeremy Nichols for $158. No other bids. Dropped Joshua Palmer. Purple Leaders picked up Keenan Allen for $109. Dropped Cam Akers to do so. Let's see, any activity? Nothing too much. John picked up Gus Edwards after the bids. I picked up the Bucks defense. John picked up Demario Douglas, dropping Dubes. And then I picked I picked up Kamani Vidal after hearing J.K. Dobbins out. And, you know, so nothing really there.
I think McNichols may be a good pickup. Eckler's going to be out this week.
True. Right. Yeah, I can get some touchdowns. Yeah.
And Rock, yeah. I mean,
they're playing Tennessee, though. Yeah, that's defense. Tennessee's defense is pretty good. They shut down Houston.
But McNichols gets a lot of passes. He catches ball in the backfield.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Any other comments about anything? Observations?
I think one of the Brad sent out a text saying it was interesting. It was players that were spent $0 outscored players that were a dollar or more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting. Maybe there's way more pickups for $0 than money spent.
Yeah. Sure,
but still, the average is the average. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So if you spent $0, you probably panned out better than if you dropped a lot of money on players.
There was
at least this year.
There was also in that I sent out, there's almost $1,000 that were spent on players who never played a game.
That's wild.
Dang.
Joey had like 3 of them or 2 of them.
That makes sense.
He picked up like a Pierce and never played him. He picked for like $200.
I picked him up, played him, he got me zero. So.
Well, at least you played him. I don't play them, but
$1,000.
Yeah, just wasted. Just so I don't know.
Entire budget and never used it.
They're lottery tickets. You know, 100%. It's like you. you don't get any benefit. Like, if you know it's not the case, you're punishing yourself for not, you know, cutting loose of what you have instead of, like, you know, investing more when you know it's not good. So, like, you lost the money, move on from there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the mailbag next.
All right, guys, we're going to jump in the mailbag. We got a caller coming in. I believe it's Lord Vermont. Let's see what he has to say.
Well, hello there. Oh, as you Americans like to say, first time, long time. Oh, this call is in regards to your commissioner. How does someone, let's say, of his ilk, rises to such a rank as commissioner? Someone who goes around saying, my team is this, and your team is that. Such buffoonery. So my question is, what does the rest of the league think of such a fool? Anywho, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Lord Vermont.
Yeah.
Great call, by the way.
The esteemed Lord Vermont.
Any thoughts? How did he rise to the rank of commissioner?
I think none of us wanted to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And, you know, the commissioner, you know, loved the power.
It definitely.
Maybe it was a mistake on our part for letting him have it.
Definitely. No. To me, Rod's been a great commissioner. I don't know. Lord Vermont just seemed a little harsh. I don't know. I mean, that's your teammate. What do you got to say?
No, like Levi said, I mean, I give him, look, it's work. I mean, you know, to be the commissioner, it's, yeah, you know, you got to do things. It takes time, you know, and I respect him for it. He's signed up for it. He raised his hand to do it, yeah, you know, and hey, he's been good. I mean, he's not only has he been running the league well and fair, but, you know, he's also gotten on the pod and, you know, he's one of the leaders in the clubhouse as far as the text line. And so, you know, he's engaged. I mean, you got to like that. So,
you got to want to do the work, you know, get everything set up.
Yeah.
Draft, rules changes. Two, you got to be a punching bag because, like, pretty much everyone else in the league hates you because you're the commissioner.
Yeah. He's taking some punches.
Yeah.
He's dished them out, though. So.
He's kind of like Trump in that regard.
Oof. He's going to take that one, bro.
I don't know.
Hear him now.
He is. They tried to shoot him, you know. They tried to put him in jail, and he's still standing. That's Rob. He's got a lot more in common with Trump than he takes.
I hope he calls you up.
Yeah. We'll wait to see what his comments are.
That's the end of my political statements. Other than no more.
All right, moving on. We got a call. I think Andy from Shively.
Yeah. Am I on?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey guys. I was searching through all the podcasts online, and I found a fantasy cast with you guys on it, and I was wondering if a couple of you guys would like to join our D&D game. It's fantasy too, and I think you guys really, really like it, and it plays just like it because you have fate points, and we roll dice, and you guys can be whatever you want to be, and you know, and the reason I call and I ask is RDM James, the other day, this guy, he clearly, he's like, I'd like to get a flaming sword, you know, we're going to fight a dragon, and he wouldn't give him one. So get this, we got together, and we found this spell, and we banished RDM. He's gone now, but yeah, he won't come back and he won't play anymore. So, yeah, we were wondering if a couple of you guys would like to come over. We play in Fellowship Hall on Wednesday at our church in the basement. They really don't know what we're doing down there. Because, you know, but it's super fun. We have snacks. We have Coca-Cola. You know, I drink too many Coca-Cola sometimes, and I start doing some crazy stuff, and these guys don't really know what I'm doing. They kind of get mad about that, but, you know, I can get better. So if you guys could reach out to me, you know, and let me know, you know, you come, tomorrow I think we're going to play, so if you guys can make it, that'd be great. Thanks for taking the call. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Andy.
Andy,
that does seem very similar to what we do, the fantasy aspect. So
yeah,
we'll take that in consideration.
Yeah, I think Levi sounds like you're definitely in.
I do like Cokes.
Yeah,
Andy sounds like a pretty cool guy. I mean, sounds like a guy I'd like to hang out with. For maybe 5 minutes.
Bring your dice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to put a pin in that.
Their DM doesn't like flaming swords, though, so I'm not sure if I'm on board.
Count
there.
Me out. Mm. I'd say Slop Nasty's probably out as well. Yeah, Andy, thanks for the invite. Looks like we're probably all a little too busy, you know, the rest of the year with Christmas and everything. We'll hit you up on the new year and maybe pencil something in. But yeah, those are the only questions I have. Luke, you got one?
Yeah. So with the season coming to the end, and it is the season to be thankful, I was just wondering, since it is almost the end of the season, what player has been, what players have been both the most surprising and the ones that you didn't think that you would be very thankful for, but are, and the ones that you've been very disappointed with that you are not so thankful for?
Joe Mixon would have to be in that for me as far as being thankful. I mean, I thought he would have a good year, but I didn't know that he would be as good as he's been. And that's even with 3 games missed due to injury. So Joe Mixon's on that list for me. I don't know, guys, you have anything? I'm trying to think of someone who's not been.
I mean, like, for me, thankful Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know. Have as many wins.
He's been good.
Yeah, he's been probably my most consistent player, and he doesn't get that many carries, doesn't need that many carries, and still gets, you know, gets his points. So I'm thankful to have him. I'm still thankful to have Justin Jefferson. I'm wishing I would get more out of him. Still, you know, could, but a little disappointing. But I always love having Justin Jefferson on my team. I'll say Devonta Smith. I'm not thankful.
Yeah, he's been kind of course he's been injured, but
even when he hasn't been injured, he's been struggled to play. So like I don't foresee me. I don't want to say that he will never be on my team, but like there has to be like him dropping very far or something. Has to happen for me to draft him again.
Yeah, that's the type of season that kind of makes you not like a player. You know, even though you probably shouldn't. You know, short-term memory. Mine are probably thankful for Jaden Daniels. He was a stud. Tariq Hill, you know, obviously. I don't know if he reached a level where I would never draft him again, but considering his age and, I don't know, I probably would maybe stay away from him. But those two definitely my thankful and unthankful list. Even though Hill's not been, he's not been good. Those are my two players.
I'm looking at my roster. I don't know that I have a guy that's been, like, completely, utterly disappointing. I mean, I made a trade with Levi for Waddle, and with the exception of last week, he's not been that good. So, I mean, maybe Waddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of would have said Waddle, too, like, when I had him. It was just like, I expected a lot from him. Kind of the same as Devonta Smith. I kind of had high expectations for him to have them to have a big year.
Yeah.
It never came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else?
All right. Those are, I think, all the questions that we have. I think Levi's going to jump into the playoff scenario.
Yeah. I just want to talk about playoffs a little bit and what to expect. you all can, it'll help you all play along at home and know what to root for. Like, I'm not going to do every playoff scenario right now because there's a lot of different things. But I can tell you, for one, I want to tell you the tiebreaker rules. That way, what needs to happen or, like, who you need to root for, essentially, when that happens. So, but we talked about it last year, but it's kind of a convoluted tiebreaker system. So it's good to, like, talk it over again. So whenever there are two teams tied, it goes to head-to-head first, and then it goes to points. Points gained or not allowed, points for whoever's the highest gets that tiebreaker. And then if for every reason, if you have the same amount of points, then it goes to points against. And then I think the fourth one is, like, division or something like that, like division record or something.
It'll never
like
be that.
Yeah, there's no way it's going to be past that three. And that's pretty easy if you're just tied with one other team. When it gets a little weird is when you have, you know, multiple teams, like three or more tied. So, like, when more than two teams are tied, essentially, like, there's a rinse and repeat process for each remaining seed. It kind of, like, goes through a cycle, checks for something, and then declares one team as that seed. So, say you have three teams. The first thing they do is they check the head-to-head record of all the teams that are tied. The team with the best head-to-head record is the top seed. Like, and that that's only if they've all played the same amount of games with each other. So, like, say one team's played three games, and another team's played two games, and another team's played three games. That rule can't work. So they just go down to the second step. When that happens, out of those teams, they check for points for, and whoever has the highest points there, they're declared that seed, the top seed of those three, and then they start the new process again between the remaining teams. They check their head-to-head team record again. If that's there, then the highest seed gets that spot. And like this, say there's like four or five teams tied, they'll just keep going through that and check for that. So I'm not going to get into, like, if there's a five team, then, like, Derek needs to beat this person to do that. But just so you know, if you get tied with someone and you're the seven seed, but you're tied with three other teams, it's because of this rule here.
Right. As it currently stands, the top four teams are all in that situation. And that scenario you just said played out. That's why Derek's number one, Bleeders are in second, and the Cleveland Steamers and Jeff. So that whole scenario has played out.
Yeah.
So if it ended today, that's what the top six teams would be.
Correct. And, like, and for example, with the head-to-head, like, me and Joey are six and seven. Or Brad is five. Six and six. Me, Brad, Joey. Brad, like, they're three together. We haven't played the same amount of games against each other. Brad has the most points, so he's in fifth. And then Brad is taken out of the equation, and it's just me against me and Joe. I've beat Joey once, so I'm above him.
Regardless of points.
Right. Even though I do have more points than Joey.
Right, but if you didn't, you'd still be ahead.
Yes. So that's how that kind of works. Not going to get into too much of the weeds there with any of the top seeds. I do want to talk a little bit about some scenarios that could happen this week that could put people out. For one, John is basically out. Like, it does say there's a 1% chance, but that 1% chance is that John has to get, like, he's last in points. The next team is 80. So I think he needs to get, like, very high points 2 weeks in a row and win to, like, jump anybody.
Not likely.
I'm going to say John's out. I think John doesn't have to worry. He can only play spoiler at this point.
Not for it.
Amanda is playing against me this week. She's out if she loses, if I beat her. It's like, The reason for that is that Brad and Joey were playing this week. Both are 6-6, so that puts a 7-7 player in 5. And then if I beat her, I'm also 7-7 with her having 5 wins. No way of getting into the top 6. So tiebreakers won't happen at all. Jason is out. If he loses and I win, that kind of does the same situation.
Yeah, if you win, you put them 2 out.
Jason can still tie me if he wins and probably would jump me.
Mm-hmm.
So like if he's with, as long as he's within 1 win of me next week and I lose next week,
you still have a chance.
He still has a chance. So that I put that caveat that Jason is really only out if he loses and I win. With Brad and Joey, that doesn't matter because there's going to be one person that loses in that matchup. And then Rob is in the middle of a reverse Amanda / Brad. So I wanted to talk a little bit, you know, maybe there's some situation he gets out. For Rob to get out, I think Jason, the most likely situation for him to get out is if Jason and Amanda win because they beat him. And if he loses, he has to lose out. Like, all the 7 winners have to, like, if they win one more, they're absolutely in.
He would need he's 90% in, so he'd need a lot.
Rob needs to go 0-2. Jason and Amanda need to win and have the same record as him. And then the tiebreakers would put him at the bottom of their, because Jason's beat Rob and Amanda's beat Rob. For the reverse, could happen where like me and Joey win, but it's less likely to happen because me and Joey need to get more points than Rob, which we don't have right now.
Right. You're not far behind.
We're not far behind, but like I think it's easier to jump someone if you beat them than not. So there's a little bit of a situation like basically Rob, if you win, you're in, but like it's, yeah, there's still some things going to happen that could mean an epic collapse. And we're all here for that.
Well, not all of us.
Well, yeah, except Brad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I just wanted to reiterate the tiebreaker rules because they're kind of complicated. But yeah, it kind of goes through that cycle. And just some playoff, you know, teams that could be out after this week. Next week, I'll get more in depth on what each team needs to do, because it's a lot easier. Because like it's mostly just like you win and this team loses or something like that. Mm-hmm. This one, it's like there's like four different ways that each team are doing.
There's only a game between ace, 2 games between ace and first.
So yeah,
there's 2 weeks left,
and like
change everything.
If these, So Jeff and Derek play each other this week. So the winner of that is locked in the playoffs. Lance wins, he's in. Rob wins, he's in. So there's a chance that 3 teams could be just in the playoffs after this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes it a little easier to figure out what needs to happen.
With 3 teams, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, that's all I wanted to say for that. A
little bit of breaking news. Kansas City, Las Vegas games in the first quarter. It's 3-0 Kansas City, but a little caveat to this game, Isaiah Pacheco is playing, and Lance has him on his bench, which I don't blame him for doing that. I mean, it's his first game back off of an injury, so Hunt's actually still getting carries as well, so it looks like they may split in this one, but
I expect Hunt to have more carries than Pacheco, I would assume.
Probably this game. But could be a nice pickup for Lance going into the last week of the season if Pacheco can return to form quickly. You know, and then also for our little bozo bet, Kansas City's in Vegas territory. They're up 3-0, so 10-0 looks likely here. And I picked the Raiders plus 12, but we'll see.
Yeah, good stuff. I think that'll wrap up the mailbag. Thanks for all the callers.
All right, Chaos Fantasy Football Hooligans. The podcast was at full strength this week as John returns even though he's basically out of the playoff picture. Speaking of playoff picture, a lot is on the line in these next 2 weeks for everybody as we all jockey for position and seeding into the playoffs. And it looks like John also may be worried about his chair on this pod, as Hank would like to see him usurped by Lance. But in the meantime, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember, nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.